tested this past week. We talked last Sunday about the kind of faith that we need to overcome our problems. We talked about believing faith and obeying faith. I'll ask it another way. Have you had any problems this week? Yeah, we've all had problems, right? I've had them. And I had an unusual load of problems, and two or three of those were rather weighty this week. Last Sunday, I shared the story. I opened the sermon with Miss Nan, a woman in my church, formerly pastored in Jackson, Mississippi, how she gave me a happy every Sunday, a bag of baked goodies, right? For 8 years, every Sunday morning, she would hand that to me. And so that was 15 years ago. Well, in the middle of the week, I received a package in the mail. And it was a box. And I opened that box, and you want to guess what was in that box? They were baked goodies from Miss Nan Thompson. I couldn't believe it. And it was in the middle of this week. And so I called her. I said, "Miss Nan, Miss Nan, Miss Nan." She just cackled. She started laughing. I said, "Miss Nan, who called you and told you about my sermon last Sunday?" She said, "No one." I said, "Well, did you watch me online?" She said, "I don't watch you online." And I thought, well, that made me feel good, you know. And I said, "You got to be kidding me." And she said, "No." And I said, "Miss Nan, I told her the story of how I opened my sermon last Sunday. This woman, a great influence in our church." And I said, "Miss Nan," I said, "this has been one of those weeks. And man, in the middle of the week, what a blessing." And she said, "You know, Mark," she said, 92 years of age. And she said, "The reward for me is knowing that God used me to bless you when you needed it the most." You know, when I opened that box, the Lord impressed upon my heart, just as Miss Nan is providing for you, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about these problems. You just trust me. And in that moment, I experienced victory. That's where we have a victorious faith. It's in those small moments, and we often miss those, don't we? You know, we just, "Oh, hey, that was nice. Miss Nan gave me the goodies." But there's really more to that. How would God know, or how would she know the timing of all that apart from God? I said, "Why did you do this?" And she said, "The Lord impressed upon my heart to bake these and send them to you this week." Now, don't tell me there's not a God, because that's a God thing. And so we all have these problems in life, and today I want us to help us see the kind of faith that we really need to overcome our problems. So I want you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to do a quick review of the first two points, and then I want to spend most of my time this morning on the third point of the message. If those who are guests, I'm going through the book of 1 John, and we welcome you. We're so glad that you're here, and I pray that the Lord will minister His grace to you from His Word, and that you'll truly experience Him in these next few moments. John writes these words, chapter 5, verse 1. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah," that is the Christ, "has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent also loves his child. This is how we know that we love God's children, when we love God and obey His commands. For this is what love for God is, to keep His commands. Now His commands are not a burden, because whatever has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. And who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" All right, so what are the things that help us overcome our problems? Number one is believing faith. Believing faith. Verse 1, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God." And here he begins talking about the importance of faith. And so he helps qualify that, though. If we say we have faith in the Messiah, well, what does that really mean? What must you believe? And John has made that clear in this letter to these churches. First, that Jesus is the Messiah, in verse 1 that I just read. That He has come in the flesh, chapter 4, verse 2. That He is the Son of God, chapter 4, verse 15, and again in verse 5. And Jesus is the Savior of the world, chapter 4, verse 14. And he says, those who believe this, those who believe that about the Messiah, about Jesus, they're born again. Now, what does it mean to be born again? Well, in the context of 1 John, it means that it leads to right behavior. If I truly have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, it means that it's going to change the way that I think, the way that I speak, and the way that I act. If there's no change, there's no Jesus. There has to be change. I'm born again. I'm a different kind of person. It also means that it prevents you from habitually sinning. All of us are going to sin on occasion, but it prevents us from getting into a habit of sin. That means truly that we're unrepentant of our sin. That's the force of really what he's saying there. There's no desire to stop sinning. So if I've been born again, there is a desire that I don't want to sin. Being born again means that it causes you to love others. The greatest way that I can see that a person has been changed by the power of Christ is the way that they love others, especially those who have hurt them, wronged them, or who are enemies. So faith is not only a sign of the new birth. Listen, it is a condition of the new birth. If I have faith in Christ, which leads me to be born again, it's going to be played out in that way. Then he says at the end of verse 1, everyone who loves the parent also loves the child. A believer who loves God will love his children. Remember I shared the story of the family, that the Williams family in Florida, who called me while I was in Texas going to seminary and said, hey, we want to take you out to dinner. I really didn't know them, but they knew my parents. He was a member of my father's church where he pastored in Florida. And the whole point of that story was that the main reason he did that was not so much to do something nice for me, but to show my parents how much he loved them by what he did for me and for Karen. And so that's the way it is that God is saying to us that the proof of my love for God is not just my love for him, but how I love his children, how we love each other. That's how we show how much we really love God. Believing faith, that kind of faith, and love are inseparable. Notice also we don't only need believing faith, but obeying faith. Verse 2, this is how we know that we love God's children. Okay, we say that we love God. Okay, you got to love his children. Okay, well, this is how we know we love God's children, when we love God and obey his commands. So when we love God, that means you will keep his commands, which involves loving others. In chapter 4, verse 21, he said, and we have this command from him, the one who loves God must also love his brother. Now notice verse 3. For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands. Love for God is only real when we are showing, obeying faith. That we're trusting him, we're following his commands. Remember what I said, John Stott said, that love for God is not so much a spiritual or emotional experience as it is a moral commitment. We come to worship and we have a feel good when we leave, and that's okay. We should feel that. We should feel that we've experienced God and that God loves us. We love him. There's emotion that is evoked there. But that's not the sign of true love for God. It is the moral commitment. Again, it's the change that happens in our lives. So love is determined by action. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Now, verse 3, he says his commands are not a burden. And we talked about how his demands, his laws are demanding, but they're not oppressive, they're not crushing, which they were experiencing in that day. Jesus said in Matthew 23, they, the religious leaders, tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to lift a finger to move them. Hypocrites, legalists, all the rest. So in that day and time, you had the law of God, the Mosaic law, but you also had the interpretation of the law, which were all these rules and traditions added to the law. And so people couldn't live up to that. And it was a heavy burden. And it was just so oppressive. They were in bondage in religion that there was no freedom in it, no spirit, no life. Then Jesus says in Matthew 11, in that context, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, heavy weighted, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so he's saying that, look, what I'm trying to do is give you rest. We all have these problems, these heavy loads that we're trying to carry. And some of those are circumstantial and some of those are self-induced. And Christ wants to give us rest. He wants us to overcome our problems. Manly Beasley was a great man of God. Karen and I knew him and knew his family. He was a member of the church where we attended when I was going to seminary. And he was a Bible conference teacher. He went everywhere, around the world. And he said this. He said, faith is reason at rest with God. That's a great line. Faith is reason at rest with God. We have to use our reason in looking at the problems that we're facing. But reason's not going to solve your problems. At some point, you've got to say, as I did this week with a couple of things, Lord, this is all I know to do. Now I have to trust you. And in that moment, peace comes. Faith is reason at peace, at rest with God. So if you want rest, the reason why people don't have rest within is they have no peace. And there's no peace because there's no victory. There's no victory internally. We often think about victory over the problem, solving the problem, and it's fixed, then I feel better. But the real victory for the Christian is the victory that is within through the crisis that we're in, through the struggle. And so that's the kind of faith that he's asking us to have, this obeying faith. Psalmist said, I delight in your commands, which I love. Paul said, in my inner self, I joyfully agree with God's law. So love for God is real only when we are obeying his commands. Believing faith, obeying faith. Now number three is conquering faith. If we're going to overcome our problems, we have to have conquering faith. Verse 4. Whatever has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. Now, when he uses the word whatever, he means whoever. He means all believers. And everyone who has been born of God is able to keep God's commands because you've been given the power to overcome anything that comes against you or comes against what God is wanting to do in and through your life. Any command that he may give you, any behavior that God wants you to have in your life, you can overcome it by the power of God. And every believer has that supernatural power that comes from him to overcome the world. Jesus said, you will have suffering in this world. You should never be surprised. One of the reasons that couples really have struggles in their marriage, especially young couples, early in their marriage, that they fail to anticipate the inevitable, the trials and sufferings of life. Well, we love each other and we'll get through our problems with love. You're going to need a whole lot more than your love. You're going to need God's love. You're going to need God's power in your life. And they get shocked by the problems. I didn't think that my spouse could be like this. I didn't think we were going to have this problem happen this early in our marriage or whatever else. And so those things are going to happen. And so he says, you will have suffering, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. You can experience victory. He says, this is the victory that has conquered the world. What? Our faith. Now, when he says the word our faith, it's structured in the text of the language in a certain way. It's actually the faith of us. The faith. Not just a faith out there, but the faith. The faith that we all have in Jesus Christ. That is the faith that is going to overcome the world. It's the only time he uses the word faith in his writings. Every other time he'll use the word believe. But here he is stressing the importance of having faith in Christ and him being the Son of God. That Jesus is who he is, and that true faith is going to give you real power. Now, what is this victory that he's talking about over the world? What kind of victory is it? Well, there are three possibilities. It could be God's purpose. The victory is that God is accomplishing his purpose. In 1 John 3:8, he says, the Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So God had a purpose in Christ coming to overcome the world in that way, to be victorious. It could mean God's salvation, that you experience victory over sin at the time of salvation. It can also mean this idea of victory, that you have God's power. In other words, it's a present reality. It's not something that happened in the past, but I have this power now. They experienced victory over their false teachers, over the heretics. We have victory over opposition, also over sin itself. It really means all three of these. This is the kind of victory that we're able to experience with overcoming faith. It's exercised by your faith. Victory and faith then really are the same thing. Now, why is that? Because your faith is in Christ, and nothing can separate you from Christ, from that faith in Christ. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. You're familiar with these words. No, in all these things we are more than victorious through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we want God's power in our life, it is through Christ, and that's the conquering faith. Now, to go back to 37, he says, in all these things we are more than victorious. It's one word in the Greek language. And when you see the word victor, victory, overcomer, he who overcomes, it's all from the same root word, the word Nike. The brand Nike is based really from the Greek text, which means victor or winner or overcomer. But he adds a preposition to this word. It doesn't mean that you're just victorious. You are more than victorious. You are a super conqueror. It's the idea that I can overcome not just anything, but everything. One translation says this: we are winning a most glorious victory. The victory isn't over, again, the problem. The victory is what happens within you. That's the glorious victory that we have, which gives us peace, which gives us rest. That's the victory that comes through Christ. Faith overcomes in that way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory, again, through our Lord Jesus Christ. No evil force will overcome Jesus Christ, which means no evil force can overcome you. Did you hear that? No evil force can overcome you. You can overcome you, but Satan cannot overcome you. The reason why you are overcome is you've chosen to be overcome. You're allowing the enemy to overcome you. Satan cannot overcome you. Satan cannot do that. But when you have Christ in you, you have the power to say no to him. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, from the power of Christ. So the defeat is not that he defeated you, you defeated yourself. You've chosen to allow the enemy to overcome you in that area of your life, whether it's a thought, the way you speak, or an actual action. Notice verse 5. And who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? It's a summary of everything that he's been saying. That it is faith that overcomes all the problems that you and I have. The content of faith is defined again in verse 5. The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The false teachers denied that Jesus was the Son of God. Saving faith has its foundation in that one truth. If he's not the Son of God, you have no victory. But if he is the Son of God, you have victory. And not just over some of your problems, but for every one of your problems, that he's going to help you get through that with victory in your heart, peace in your heart, rest in your soul. The same John who wrote this letter wrote the book of Revelation. He says this: they, believers, overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives in the face of death. Now that one verse is a whole nother sermon. But the fact is that the main reason they were able to overcome is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who had victory over sin and death. And notice, he says the one who overcomes the world is the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's present tense. That can happen now. It can happen for you. So, does faith really solve your problems? In Hebrews chapter 11, we have the great hall of faith. And why were these great men and women of faith? They're the Old Testament figures. And they are because of their enduring faith. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, John is writing the words of Jesus to the seven churches, to the seven pastors of the seven churches in Asia Minor. And there he's instructing them, and in each letter, at the end of each letter, he says, to the victor, to the one who overcomes, to the Nike. You know who that's to? It's the members of the local church. It's the common people, just like you and me. He's not just saying that to the pastors. He's saying it to the congregants, to you, that you're the one who can overcome. And every one of these issues in these churches that he addresses, the conflicts, he says, but you can overcome these situations. Jesus directs those words to them and to us. And when they are faithful, they are the true heroes. And how do you do that? Well, faith is believing in God, but it's also believing God. So many struggle with this idea of rest. But it's a rest that God gives in the midst of the battle. Some of those battles are circumstantial, but most of them are spiritual in nature. They're within. And God wants you to experience victory over many of these that I want to give some examples of what these are like in a practical way. Here's where it really hits the road for each of us. If I want to be victorious, have conquering faith over my problems, you can have victory over fear. Fear of sickness, fear of an accident, fear of financial security, fear of persecution, fear of failure, fear of loneliness, fear of aging, fear of dying. If that's you today, ask God to help you appropriate His love, because as we see here in John, perfect love casts out all fear. You can have victory over pride. Pride in your abilities, your natural abilities. Pride of your family. Pride in excelling others. Pride of your successes. If that's you, pray God will give you humility and gratitude for His grace and blessings. You can have victory over envy. Envy of another's gifts, possessions, or position. Envy of those who seem more blessed or used by God than you. Ask God to help you to be content with what He has determined you to be and to do. You can have victory over hatred. Hatred of those who have wronged you. Hatred of those who offend you. Hatred of those who get in the way of your agenda. Hatred of those who oppose you, your ideas, or your ways. If that's you, ask God to give you a forgiving spirit and a Christ-like attitude, where Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." You can have victory over doubt. Doubt about your salvation. Doubt of God's truth, especially when circumstances seem contradictory to it. Doubt of God's goodness when adversity strikes. Doubt of God's faithfulness. Doubt of God's fairness. Doubt of the power of the gospel to save someone who seems impossible to save. Doubt of God's sovereignty when bad things, evil things happen. If that's you, ask God to help you remember who He is and His faithfulness to you. You can have victory over the flesh, over sinful desires, over bad habits, over laziness, over ungodly ambition, over destructive conversation. If that's you, ask God to help you crucify the flesh and its desires. You can have victory over anxiety. Anxiety over yesterday's consequences. Anxiety over tomorrow's what ifs. Anxiety over what others think about you. Anxiety over what you think God thinks about you. Anxiety over all your problems. If that's you, ask God to help you cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Verse 5, and who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The writer of Proverbs says victory comes from the Lord. Paul said, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in the world, but be courageous, I have conquered the world. John writes in Revelation, the Lamb will conquer them because He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Listen, you can have victory over all your problems through believing faith, obeying faith, and overcoming faith, conquering faith. That faith will give you rest. Manly Beasley said, faith is reason at rest with God, but he didn't stop there. He also said this, faith is dependency on God. And self-dependency only begins, God-dependency only begins when self-dependency ends. You see, for many in this room today, you've really been trying in your faith, with your reason, with your abilities, to try to overcome your problems. And if you're honest, inside there's no rest, there's no peace, because there's no victory. You've been self-dependent. Listen, self-dependency won't save you. Self-dependency will not solve your problems. It will only create more problems. So why not today? Humble yourself before the Lord and experience rest and peace in your soul by saying, Father, I've looked at this in a reasonable way, and this is all I know to do. And God's given you the ability to reason. But Father, all I know to do now is to trust you, to put it in your hands and in your care, and rest in you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? There might be somebody here today who would say, Pastor, if I was really honest, I would say that I'm a self-dependent individual, believing that what I have done and what I can do is what's going to save me from what God says cannot save me. The only thing that's going to save you is a faith that is centered in Jesus Christ because of who He is and what He did on the cross to take care of your sin problem, and empowers you. No one else or nothing else can give you the power to overcome the problems that you're facing, especially the problem of the unrest that is in your soul and the lack of peace. So today I want to offer you the great invitation of the Lord who said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened. You got a lot of heavy problems. Come and I'll give you rest. What a tremendous invitation. It's life changing. And if you want to do that this morning, you come and we'll help you as you give your heart to Christ and begin a journey of faith with God. That many of us in this room, I've shared with you an example this week in my own life. All of us have got problems we're dealing with. You're not alone. You are not alone. Every single person in this room is dealing with something. They're trying to find victory. They're trying to have that conquering faith. And today that can happen as you say, Lord, I don't want to be self-dependent. I can't solve this. I can't fix this. And there's not enough of me or in me to get through this alone. I need your faith in me. And begin to appropriate the faith of Christ, the power of Christ in your life, the love of Christ, and you'll begin to experience victory within. There might be others that God is leading you to become part of our church family. We would love for you to come and join us. If that's what God is leading you to do, there are others who may want to come and pray quietly here at the altar, or maybe you want someone to pray for you. got a special need, then you come and we'll do that. God, I thank you for the victory that is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we don't have to live defeated lives. Lord, problems are real. They're not fun. They're hard. They're tragic. They're heavy. They're weighted. Or they wouldn't be problems. But Father, thank you that you help us. You help us have that victory in the moment and through it all. And we give you glory and praise for it. I simply ask, Lord Jesus, that all of us in this room will do the right thing right now as you lead us in our response to you, our act of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.